Well, we're entering into a transition where we have many of our students that have gone home, and we're entering into the summer months. We are blessed today with a lot of visitors. We're so happy you're here. And it's interesting, I look back over this last week, and truly we are reminded of the passing of time and of the significance of the relationships that God gives us. On Monday, we had Leah Northcutt baptized into Christ, a new birth. And then we lost our brother Anthony. His funeral was on Thursday. And that certainly had a very powerful impact to remind us on the brevity of life, but on the wonderful faith and life that he lived to remind us what's really important. Then we had the beautiful wedding yesterday of Chris and Shauna. And, you know, all three of these are entering into another relationship, another phase of life, another phase of our eternity. This morning I want to talk with you about God's promises and worry. I talked last week about the power of a promise. And I will tell you, I don't think I'm going to teach any of you who are Christian anything that you don't already know. But it's really important for us to go back and look at what we do have. For oftentimes, we may know something, but it's very hard for us to really let our faith really accept that and for us to find the peace that God gives us through His promises. It's interesting, as we talk about serving God, what kind of faith saves? What is necessary to please God? Well, one of the things you see in Scriptures is that we need to understand what our God is like, what He does, what He doesn't do. Why serve God? The Bible says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. If you notice this verse, our God wants to give and to provide, but we've got to believe in Him. We need to seek Him, understand Him, know His character, understand His promises. And I will tell you, this life throws a lot of things at us. Whether it be the uncertainty of our drive to work, whether it be the concern for our loved ones, maybe it is when we even look in the mirror and we feel the failings of our own body. One thing we need to know that God is in charge, because this world is uncertain. And that's something that as we live this life, we've got to continue to grow in our understanding of our God. You know, it's easy. It is so easy to say God cares for me. It's easy to sing the beautiful songs that were selected about what God does, but really believing it. Believing it to the point where the stress is taken away and the worry is taken away, and we can with great focus pursue being used by God for His purposes. I'll have to tell you, it's a challenge for me. It's a challenge for me in my life to not find myself at times distracted about what the what ifs. I know what God says. I see the examples in the Scriptures. But can I overcome my fears and my worries? Beautiful wedding yesterday was a product of many things. Think of when you see in the wedding, you see the parents and the relatives, and you see the couple being married, and sometimes you think, the parents may think about the birth of their child, and now their child is entering this relationship, leaving father and mother. It's fascinating as you go, depending on your relationship. Here you see a change occurring. Here you see things that have occurred over time. And certainly as a Christian, you see a Christian marrying another Christian, you know prayers are answered. And you're thankful to see what a beautiful relationship beginning. You know, there are all kinds of concerns as you're raising your child, giving them advice and teaching them. And you see the fulfillment in good ways as we witness the day like yesterday. Our God answers prayer. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, the thing that we've got to get to as we consider our life, we consider the promises of God, we look back on what God has done, we have confidence in what He will do. In 1 Peter 5, by the way, if you look at the context, it's in the context of people being humbled, people learning how to wait on God. But I love verse 7, where the Bible says, casting all your care on Him, for He cares for you. I do not control this world. I am limited, but my God is unlimited. I can't do everything. God doesn't want me to do everything. He wants me to cast my care upon Him, and He has a path for me to take. Can I do that by faith? That's the challenge that I want to talk about this morning. I want to go to the Old Testament. I was doing some researching on this and looking at the patriarchs. It's amazing. I can't use all the verses that I wanted to, but you'll see with God's people in the Old Testament, God often would come to them and remind them of His promises. Do you understand what it means to have a covenant with God? If you've got a covenant with God, you have a right with a relationship with God. That is so precious. That is so powerful. The nature of our God. If we understand the nature of our God, if we're tied to Him, everything is great. Abraham left his land on the basis of that promise, is not knowing where he is going. He went to a land he didn't even know what it was going to look like. And we talked about that last week. He went there, and really he didn't inherit the land at that time. It was going to be through his descendants. But he knew that God would be with him. He didn't know what the future would hold, but he knew who held the future. And as you begin to look at Abraham, though, Abraham wasn't Superman. Abraham didn't live his life, yes, I'm going to go to the promised land and never have a worry again. No fears, no worries. No, you don't know Abraham. Abraham was one of the greatest examples of faith that could be given to us, but Abraham had worries. He had fears. He had uncertainties. And there were times he failed. Genesis 20, he made people think that his wife was his sister, and actually one of the kings was about to take Sarah as his wife. And Abimelech, the king, found out about it. It came to Abraham. In Genesis 20, in verse 10, it says, "Then Abimelech said to Abraham, what did you have in view that you have done this thing? And Abraham said, because I thought." Abraham had fears that created a reality, fears that for that moment God was not in view. Because I thought, surely the fear of God is not in this place and they will kill me on the account of my wife. Have you ever had that happen? Have you ever started thinking about the what ifs? Have you ever seen in your mind just ran away with you? Maybe it was concerned for you. Maybe it was concerned for your children. Maybe it was concerned from some situation that you could imagine. And your mind just took off with it. And next thing you know, you feel so panicked. You feel like God wasn't with you. You feel like you were abandoned. And you end up making decisions that if your mind had been in where it ought to have been, you would have never done that. That happened to Abraham. And one of the things that I really see as I look in the Old Testament, God will allow us to face our worst fears. If you think becoming a Christian is all going to be happy and easy and nothing bad's going to happen, oh, no, no, no. You look at Abraham. You look at Isaac. You look at Jacob. Over and over and over again in the Old Testament, you would see that God takes care of His people, but He lets them go through the fire. He lets them face those situations that in their heart they dreaded and they didn't want to face, but they had to face it. And by the end of Abraham's life, when he was asked to offer his son Isaac, by that time you see a strong faith. And Abraham didn't know everything God's going to do. By the way, aren't you glad God doesn't tell us everything He's going to do? Aren't you glad He's not going to tell you how He's going to handle this brother and that brother in this situation? That what God tells us is what we need to know, because we're not God. We can't handle it. We cannot handle all the things that God does, because we're man and God's God. But it gets to the point, as Abraham has gone through these tests, and now he says, sacrifice your son, he does it. Now notice the mind of faith there. Hebrews 11, 17. This was Abraham after seeing God providing, God providing, God providing, being tested, tested, tested. Now he gets a test late in his life. Hebrews 11, 17. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac. And he who had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said. Now notice this. A promise of God was given. And here he's thinking in his mind, okay, in Isaac your seed shall be called. Abraham knew it. Abraham knew it was certain. And in his mind, okay, I'm going to kill my son, but the promise says my son is going to be the one and who the promise is going to be fulfilled. God's going to take care of it. Now notice what he thought, how God was going to take care of it. Verse 19, concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received in him in a figurative sense. Do you see the promise of God? Brethren, my lesson this morning is real, real simple. If you just get this point, you've got it. Take the promise of God. Believe the promise of God. Get that drilled into your mind. And you give God the rest. Our God will take care of us. Even earlier when Abraham was promised that the descendants that would come from him. Here's what he thought about the promise of God. Romans 4:21. And being fully convinced to what he had promised, he was also able to perform. Do you and I believe in God? What are your worries? What are God's promises? And it's interesting, we go along, Isaac ended up going through the same gauntlet his father did. You know, his father ended up in Egypt, but he always get in trouble when we get in Egypt. That's when the problems occurred. There was a difficulty, a famine, and well, guess what? Isaac goes through a famine. It's a famine, according to Genesis 26:1, like the days of Abraham. And so here he has to go to another land, and he goes to this other land, God takes care of him. His flocks begin to multiply. But even in that process, he started having the same fears that Abraham had. Look at this. Genesis 26:9. Then Abimelech called Isaac and said, quite obviously, she is your wife. Notice that he indicated that his wife was his sister. He says, quite obviously, she is your wife, so how could you say she is my sister? And Isaac said to him, because I said, lest I die on account of her. Isaac is a great man of faith. God says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But these were men with weaknesses. These were men with fears and worries. These were men that at times, they got so concerned about the immediate dangers of what might happen to them, they failed. And then, as he stayed in this land, Isaac had to face difficult people. Do you think becoming a Christian, everything's going to be good? Everybody's going to love you? Everybody's going to pat you on the back? It's great that you're a Christian. You know, as God blesses you, there are going to be some people look at the blessings God gives to you and they're going to become envious of you. As you live as you want to and you teach your children the way of God and they live the honorable, good lives that God will give them, some people are going to resent that and be angry with you. As you handle your life and take care of the finances as you ought to and God blesses you with things, you may have abundance of things, potentially, not always, but if you have that, some people become envious of you. Isaac had those that became envious of him. It says in Genesis 26 and verse 14, for he had possessions of flocks and possessions of herds and a great number of servants, so the Philistines envied him. Now, you know what they did? They didn't come up and say, we're envious of you. They didn't say that. What they started doing, they just started trying to give Isaac a hard time, particularly amongst the wells. It says, now the Philistines had stopped all the wells which his father's servants had dug in the days of Abraham his father. In other words, he had possessions, he had livestock, they had to have water, so they started trying to make it difficult. They tried to cause his livestock to die. And it's interesting, he'll go over there and dig another well, and then this started happening. Verse 20, but the herdsmen of Gerar quarreled with Isaac's herdmen, saying, this water is ours. So we called the name of the well Esek because they quarreled with him. Then they dug another well. And they quarreled over that one also. So we called his name Siphnah. In other words, here's Isaac just trying to make his own business, trying to live a godly life, trying to do what was right. And there's problem after problem after problem that threatens his outer possessions. If you put yourself in Isaac's shape, you might lose everything you have. Here's just one frustration after another. But notice he keeps serving God. Verse 22, he moved from there and dug another well, and they did not quarrel over it, so they called his name Rehoboth, because he said, for now the Lord has made room for us. Notice, he says, I know God's taking care of me. I know there's problems, there's difficulties, there are things that aren't going like I like, and we're having to deal with unpredictable people that aren't fair. God takes care of you. You ever had things like that happen to you? I think some of the greatest frustrations in life is trying to be concerned about what other people do or don't do. But I want you to notice what God did for Isaac. Look at Genesis 26 and verse 24. Let's go back to our premise. How do you overcome worry? Remember the promises of God. In verse 24, it says, "The Lord appeared to him the same night and said, 'I am the God of your father Abraham. Do not fear, for I am with you. I will bless you and multiply your descendants for my servant Abraham's sake.'" That promise is our promise. But notice what he does with Isaac. You look backwards. And brethren, we on this side of the New Testament, we can look backwards and we can see every time our God answers prayer, our God blesses his people, our God does not forsake his people. God asks us, trust me enough to give me your fears. Do not fear, for I am with you. Brethren, this is a great test of faith. I don't know what your worries are, but man, they could be numerous. To our students who are going through school, you know, that's a challenge in itself. You've gone through the finals and you kind of made it through that, but then you think about getting your degree, and then you think about whether or not you have a job. And many of you, I know this very much on your heart, for those who have not yet to marry, you're thinking about, will I find somebody that I can marry that'll help me go to heaven? And of course, our other families, we think about our children, the health of our children, and we think about our own just being able to pay the bills. There's so many things that we deal with, and I want to tell you, it is not easy at times as we are responsibly trying to take care of the things with wisdom that we're trying to face is sometimes not getting into worry. The answer is simple. The answer is a battle of the mind. It's a battle of the promises. It's a battle of faith. But Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 6 and verse 30 says, "Now if God so clothes the grass of the field which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not more clothe you, much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For after all these things the Gentiles seek, but your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things." Brethren, worry is a torment. Worry is a test of our faith. Worry is one that we've got to win the battle. Step one, you want to deal with worry. Step one, look at the God's promises. Just look, and here's what Jesus is saying. God takes care of the fields. He's going to take care of you. God takes care of sparrows. He knows the number of hairs on your head. God will take care of you. I know. You've heard that all your life. I'm preaching it to you now. Oh, yeah, preacher, we know that. But somehow, we've got to get from the point of it's something that we kind of intellectually know to where it's something that we really know. And I want to tell you what I need to hear. I need to hear this. I need to hear over and over and over, my God will take care of me. I need to know that. I need to have that repeated. But I don't know about you, but with me, sometimes as I look at this world, somehow, my thoughts don't line up with what I say I believe. Now, let me tell you the most difficult thing we have to do, and I'd love to hear from you. I'd love to hear from you of some things. I can't talk about all aspects in this lesson how to do this, but let me tell you personally my biggest struggle in this area, learning how to let go of things. You know, God says, give me your worries. Let go of your fears. Okay, I wished I was a computer. Okay, delete button. It doesn't work that way for me. Does it for you? I find myself, once I get into the area of fears, I sometimes can't let go of it. And there's the challenge. And a couple of things that I look at. One of the things I like to do is repeat the promises of God. But another thing I think about the character of God. If you go back to Romans 15, it's so important that in our Bible study, and I think a major element of our Bible study needs to be going back over this. God takes care of his people. In Romans 15:4, it says, "Whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. Now, sometimes we stop reading there, and it is okay to stop reading there. How do I get hope from Scripture? How do I get patience from Scripture? I learn about what my God has done. Now, notice verse 5, though. What do I learn as I see my God working with Abraham, working with Isaac, working with Jacob, working with Israel, working with the righteous, working with the unrighteous, fulfilling the prophecies of Christ, working with the apostles? What do I learn from that? Verse 5. Now may the God of patience and comfort grant you to be like-minded toward one another according to Christ Jesus. I learned about the character of God. Do you know God? And when I know God, I can know that He responds, and I can give Him those worries. You know what a problem some people have? They don't look at the promises of God. Now, if you may be praying for God to do something He won't do for you. You may be praying for God to somehow just provide you food without you going out and working at a job. And the Bible says if you're not willing to work, you're not going to eat. You may be wanting God to strengthen your faith, but you never open the Scriptures. You never meditate on the Scriptures. I want you to understand, we need to understand how God's promises work. There's conditions within those promises. There's a learning process. But when we do know what God gives us, we need to understand the difference between what God wants us to do and what He will do. For instance, let's talk about wisdom, how to live life. I tell my children, don't go play in the freeway. You know, you say God's going to take care of you. I want to tell you something. You decide to go play in the freeway. You're taking some steps, defining, you know, just the natural laws, defining common sense. God will take care of you, but God also wants you to gain wisdom and instruction and to listen. Proverbs 1:7 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." One of the important things sometimes in life, you are your own worst enemy. There sometimes God will take care of you, but you're pushing back His opportunities to help you. And one thing we need is wisdom how to live. I can remember a relative once, he wanted to get a job, but he decided he was going to get a job by going to the job interview with long hair, unkempt hair, with a t-shirt and blue jeans and flip-flops on. Well, I'm going to get a job. Well, you know, you need to learn a little bit about wisdom. If you're going to get a job, you show some respect. You show some understanding about what's expected of you. I'm going to tell you, God will take care of you, but you can be your own worst enemy. And God can give you doors that you can shut if you don't learn wisdom. There's a whole other lesson in this. We don't have time for today, but we need to understand that. But now, having God's promises, notice the key to an abundant life. Matthew 11:28. Jesus says, "Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light." What is the yoke in this context? Whatever the yoke is, you come to Jesus being labored and heavy laden. You're taking on more things than you can handle. Have you ever taken things in your life you can't handle? You know, one of the common things I talk about over and over again, you can't change people against their will. You know, there's some things you can't change. You can't change the weather. Now, we had some prayers answered yesterday. It got interesting. But, you know, you really can't change the weather. You can't change the past. You can't change death or life. There's so many things we can't change. And if you don't know God, I want to tell you something. You are helpless in this world, and oftentimes you take on things you can't make one bit of difference in. But you see, that's why I come to my Lord. Now notice this. Please notice this. Verse 29, Jesus says, "Learn from me." This is not just like going to a vending machine and pressing a button and getting it. It's a learning process. The learning process is understanding what the yoke of Christ that He gives and understanding the things that we're to give Him. But boy, isn't there rest when you get out of this worry mode. Let's talk about some common worries. The thing that has helped me a lot, this is one verse where you see the concept, is what has God said He's going to do and what am I to do? Here in the context of Paul as a preacher working with people, he basically in verse 6 says this, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. And so in my life, I need to ask this question. Whatever it may be, whatever great fear there is in it, whatever great dread there is in it, my mind may well not let go of it. I've got to ask this question, Lord, what is my duty here? And oh, blessed if we can find that answer. Because if I can find it, then I can start finding some peace. Because whatever my duty is, guess what? I can handle it. And so you get out of the what ifs, you get out of the imagining of what, these things that could happen. Let's talk about some things. What do we do about somebody who's unfairly critical of us, or even maybe somebody trying to do me harm? How do we handle that? Let's just give a few worries. You know, a lot of times people are worried about what people think of them, they're talking about them, or maybe you're in a work situation, you got a boss that is just uncooperative, or a workmate that's just giving your life misery. How do I handle people? Well, what does the Bible say? The Bible tells us I can't change them against their will. I wished I had the magic button and just, you know, hypnotize them or whatever. Now you do this. You know, like I think in the old Star Wars movies where they had the ability, oh, you're going to do this. Okay, and they repeat it. I wished I had that power. We don't have that power. What do you do with difficult people? Here's what you do. You can control you. Now, understand this. You can control you. You can't control them. And so here we talk about difficult people, Romans 12:17, repay no one evil for evil. In other words, you do what's right. Verse 19, beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I'll repay, says the Lord. So if somebody's done you wrong, you don't have to keep track of it and pay them back and pay them back a little more. I know how that works. When I was growing up, somebody hit me, I hit them back a little harder than we were even. You know, that's the way I did as kids. But see, that's not my job. I'm not in this job to try to make sure this life ends up being fair, because this life is unfair. God is in control. Now, what am I to do? Now, notice what God gives us. Now, here's what you do. You're not to be the venger. You're not to seek vengeance. Verse 20. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. Now, I can do that. Now, you may say, that might be hard. I might want to give him a drink and kick him in the shin while I do that. No, I can't do that. But do you see, God gives us something to do. And now, why do I do that? Because I trust him. And you know, and that's hard. It's so hard to do. But what I'm doing is I'm taking the terrible burden of hurt and frustration and a desire for justice, and I'm giving it to God. And what I'm doing, the yoke God has given me, is be good to them. I can do that. Verse 21 says, do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. You want to get rid of worries? Here's how you deal with that category. Let's talk about another one. Talk about mothers. Today we talk about mothers. And I often think of mine. I look back and think about how many worries I had to give my mother. I'll never forget one time my mother thought that I was about to die. I remember I was getting ready for a ball practice, and believe it or not, the chandelier that was right over my head broke and fell and hit me on the head and bit a big old gash in my head, and I was dizzy. I thought mother got mad at me and hit a plate on my head. You know, then I turned it, my mother go, mother? And man, I was a football player. I was going to go to football practice, and my mother picked me up and carried me outside, was calling for help. I mean, I cannot imagine the terror that she went through that day. And we joked about it later. How did she find the strength to do that? Well, she thought I was in trouble. And up she went. But you know, I have children. And whether it be about issues of their health or issues of who they date and marry, of their job, of how they're going to work out, of their service to the Lord, you know, what can I do? I can plant and water. We need to reassure every one of our love. But you see, there's a yoke I can bear, and there's a yoke that I give to God. We live in a very uncertain financial time, and that may get worse, it may not. Many of you have been through the fire already in this area about working a job, keeping a job, about having to change jobs, paying the bills. You know, you can end up, well, we've got some very strange things going in our society where an innocent person could end up having astronomical bills and having done nothing wrong. But in Hebrews 13 and verse 5, the Bible says this, here in the context of things, of possessions, of food and raiment. Hebrews 13, 5, let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, I will not fear, what can man do to me? I don't know anything more debasing at times is when you realize you're just having trouble just taking care of the basic necessities of life. As a man, as a provider, that is a terrible thought process. And the danger we face sometimes when somebody else has abundance, we start judging ourselves in sense of what we have in relationship with others. We need to get out of that thinking. God will take care of us. One of the things I think we need to learn in this life is, what do we truly need? You talk about being tested. I think God may well let us go through tests where we might lose everything we own. I'm not saying that's going to happen to you, but it could happen to you. You may have to go through a disaster and start over. Is it the end of your life? Are you an unspiritual person? Has God forsaken you? No. In 1 Timothy 6 and verse 6, the Bible says, now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out, and having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. I've had relatives very close to me experience the loss of everything they had, and I actually saw that as one of the greater blessings they had in their life. There's something about understanding, while we have to take care of bills and we keep our word, but there's some things, sometimes things are beyond our control, and we do what we can and we trust God and we move on. Our faith is a great, great, great blessing. And I will remind each of us, we need to be generous to those who are in need, who may be going through struggles. Last point this morning. How do we overcome worry? I'll tell you, I go through times where I'm so frustrated with myself, where I can't get the worries out of your mind. Ever done that? You're just there and you just can't let go. You can't let go. You can't let go. How do you get over that? Well, let me tell you some things that have helped me. Again, I go back to repetition. I think memorizing Scripture, going back and just repeating over and over and over and over again, like you're drilling into a hard head. And I think I have a hard head sometimes when it comes to these things. I love the simplicity, the simple logic, and the fact that it is my Lord telling me this. Luke 12:6, are not five sparrows sold for two copper coins, and not one of them is forgotten before God? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Next time you go outside and you see a bird, you think about this promise. Next time you go outside and you see somebody else and you look at the hairs of their head, God knows the hairs of our head. We are not forgotten. We're not. It's going to be okay. God's going to bless me. Help me. Luke 12:32. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Let me tell you one thing I do oftentimes in looking at these promises. I look back and see what God has done in my life. To be thankful. The blessings of God, the relationship I have with God, my brethren, my family. God has answered prayer and answered prayer and answered prayer. We're not forgotten. Luke 14:27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I know at times I have to confess to my God my lack of faith. And I ask for His forgiveness and help me with my mind and help me with my struggles, but my God will answer prayer. Repeat the promises. Concentrate on what He has done. You know, the interesting thing about our worries If we kept a logbook of them, you know what we'd find out? 95% of them would never happen. It's fascinating how we tend sometimes, you know, you could walk into a room and you hear somebody laughing on the other side of the room, and our initial reaction is, they're laughing about me. And then if you let that go, they're talking about me. And they're going to do, and we could just carry this on to, and we come up with the most weird scenarios because of our fear. Let go of your fears. Trust God. And I'll tell you something. You could be a very powerful force in helping others. Because I'll tell you, if the world could see in us this kind of faith, we will have people flocking into this building wanting what you and I ought to be having in our lives. Because I'll tell you frankly, when I first started reading the Scripture on my own, it was those passages of faith of Paul, and like in Romans 8:18, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that is in us. I saw that optimism and strength. There were things that most would say life is terrible, and Paul had this great optimism. You see, there's the power of Christianity. And we need to pray. You're struggling with your mind, pray. You need to be instant in prayer. It's one reason I love to be outside oftentimes in God's creation. It's just a great time for me. I'm more natural in prayer at that occasion. In other occasions, thanking God, praying for Him, helping Him, to asking Him to help me. Give me wisdom. Give me some insight. James 1:5, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith with no doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. I don't want to be an unstable, just mess. I'm here with the reality, then I'm over here, and then I'm over here. I want a life that's based on the promises of God, that's based on the solid foundation. I know we'll have our times of fear and struggle, but God will help us through that. Pray to God and pray to Him often. Give thanks to Him. Continue to repeat the promises and continue to pray to Him. The truth is, we may have a view of Christianity that is not affecting our lives on a daily basis. If you don't have these type of struggles, then you need to ask very hard about, is your peace from coming from God? Or is it maybe confidence in the world? Give things to God. Don't take it back from Him. Learn how to take God's yoke. Let's draw a conclusion. I mentioned to you there are so many verses I found in the Old Testament of God's people, particularly the leaders, being encouraged. Here's Moses talking to Joshua and Moses talking to the people at that transition as Moses was going to die. We sing about this. We have songs based on this. Look at this. Deuteronomy 31:6. Be strong and of good courage. Do not fear nor be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Look at verse 7. Then Moses called Joshua and said to him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage. For you must go with this people to the land which the Lord has sworn to their fathers to give him. Notice the promise of God again mentioned here. And you shall cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He is the one who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. Do not fear nor be dismayed. Life is ahead. What's the next step for you? What are you facing in the changes of your life? May the promises of God be in your heart, and you know God will be with you. Let us encourage each other. We won't extend an invitation this morning. If you need to be to respond to the gospel, to be find the forgiveness of your sins, God gives you promises that are sure. As we read in John 3:16, that God will give eternal life to those who trust in Him. That trust is manifested in repentance, a confession of our faith in Jesus Christ, as the Lord of heaven, and we're baptized into Him. We'd love to assist you in any way this morning, having that new life, a new relationship, but one with a God who never fails you. Can we assist you in any way? Would you come as we stand and sing?